Welcome to The Critique. Today, we are examining a brilliant new academic white paper titled The Enclosure of Healthcare, which analyzes how healthcare systems are practically enclosed by private privilege and proposes a transition to life-coherent systems.
Yeah, it is quite a read.
It really is. The conceptual vocabulary here, I mean, introducing terms like institutional self-consumption and differential friction is just exceptionally strong. So let's get straight into how we can elevate the impact of this work even further, because the proposed six-phase roadmap in the final section disconnects from the visceral, grounded narrative established in the introduction.
Oh, absolutely. That structural disconnect is exactly where I found myself pausing.
Right.
Because the material makes such a profound first impression, we get this stunningly vivid conceptual framework throughout the paper.
We really do.
Operation, or phase five, institutionalize accountability. The text just becomes overly abstract.
It gets incredibly administrative.
Yeah. It shifts entirely into this dry administrative register.
Which is wild because the paper actually opens with a highly relatable human critical incident.
Oh yeah, the doctor.
Right, we read about a physician leveraging their insider access, pulling strings behind the scenes to help a hospitalized relative who is facing a serious infection.
It sets the stakes perfectly.
It really does. But then it abandons this narrative thread right at the climax of the paper, precisely when the reader needs to see what the solution actually looks like in lived reality.
That is exactly where it loses me. I mean, the reader is fully invested in that family's anxiety from page one.
Exactly.
They intimately understand what the author calls the shadow access system because they literally just watched a doctor use it.
Yeah, I can see what you're going for here. Let's see how we can strengthen this. Right now, it's like an architect showing us a vivid, terrifying 3D rendering of a crumbling house, but the blueprint for the new house is just a dry spreadsheet. We need to walk through the new house.
That is a perfect analogy. We really do. So as a suggestion, the author could actually use that opening critical incident as a structural anchor that evolves throughout the proposed roadmap.
Oh, I like that. So tying it all together?
Yeah, you bring that physician and their relative back into the text to vividly demonstrate the transformation from rescue by connection to care by right.
Let's talk about some concrete examples of how to do that. Like, in phase one, we could revisit the physician's relative to show how the implementation of a formal patient flow coordinator permanently replaces the need for an urgent informal insider phone call.
Precisely. You actually explain the mechanism of that change.
Right.
Because that visibility exists, the relative's bed is assigned through a transparent queue. The bottleneck is just eliminated.
It instantly bridges the gap between policy and practice. And we could extend this further. In phase four, the text could show how the colleague who intervened in the introduction now operates under safe staffing conditions.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah, eliminating their moral injury and the need for borrowed capacity.
Exactly. The narrative does the heavy lifting of explaining the policy.
Which is so much more effective. And, you know, connecting the need to ground the ending to the need to ground the middle. The meticulous mapping of differential friction lacks the parallel lived perspectives of the patients who ultimately absorb the systemic failure.
Yeah. That transition into the core analytical chapters on access is critical. The paper perfectly diagnoses how the system burdens patients, but it heavily privileges the clinician's viewpoint and macro-systemic data.
We get this sort of helicopter view.
Right, of the six gates of practical access: geographical, financial, informational.
It is a masterful diagnosis, intellectually speaking.
It really is. But by relying almost entirely on theoretical constructs to describe those gates, the paper keeps the most vulnerable subjects at an academic arm's length.
Which is a shame, because it subtly undercuts the deep empathy the author's trying to convey.
Yeah. Building on that point, what if we looked at it from the perspective of the patient with low private capacity?
That's a great question.
I mean, does leaving out the patient's voice create a blind spot in an otherwise equity-focused paper?
I think it definitely does. So, for a suggestion here, the author should introduce dual, hypothetical patient journeys to embody the healthcare enclosure concept.
Yes, providing a grounded, emotional contrast to the high-level policy analysis.
Exactly. So, for concrete examples, when detailing the six gates in section two, they could create a brief side-by-side narrative thread.
Okay, how would that look?
We'll show patient A, someone with high private capacity, effortlessly bypassing gate one, you know, the transport barrier, with a private vehicle.
Ah, right.
And then they bypass gate four, relational access, via a doctor uncle.
Oh, I see. And then you immediately contrast this with patient B, who has low capacity, accumulating insurmountable delay, debt, and physical deterioration at those exact same gates.
Exactly. It vividly illustrates the shadow access dependency index proposed later in the paper.
Because when you read about an index, it sounds dry. But when you've watched patient B deteriorate while patient A thrives, you suddenly understand why that index needs to exist.
Yeah, it forces the reader to actually feel the friction, not just read about it.
It really grounds it.
It does. Now, having established the individual patient's vulnerability inside the hospital, the critique shifts outward to the systemic forces that put them in the hospital to begin with. The treatment of commercial determinants of health is disproportionately brief compared to their massive impact on the healthcare viability gap.
This really stood out to me. The paper correctly identifies the reactive care trap.
Right.
This idea that downstream acute care cannot indefinitely compensate for upstream disease-producing conditions.
So a key theme running through this material seems to be the reactive care trap. Are we inadvertently falling into that same trap by spending 90% of the paper analyzing hospital dynamics rather than the corporate forces driving the sickness?
That is exactly the issue. It glosses over the commercial drivers, like ultra-processed foods or corporate ecological damage, that actively fuel the preventable disease curve.
The distributed responsibility matrix mentions commercial actors, sure.
But it lacks the sharp, targeted analytical bite given to internal healthcare governance and workforce depletion. Is there a risk that focusing solely on institutional enclosure might overlook the commercial enclosure of population health?
I think there absolutely is that risk. So the suggestion would be to expand the analysis of commercial determinants to explicitly bridge the gap between systemic illness production and the localized capacity constraints.
Yeah, particularly in small island developing states, which the paper touches on.
Right. So let's look at a concrete example of that. You could include a specific subsection detailing how the aggressive marketing and importation of ultra-processed products in Caribbean states directly accelerates the acute deterioration curve.
Oh, that makes perfect sense, like driving diabetes, which leads to early renal failure and emergency overload.
Exactly. It traces the line from corporate marketing straight to the crowded emergency room.
And then you could propose concrete upstream policy interventions within the protect phase of the regenerative loop.
Right. Like, what kind of interventions?
Well, such as taxing harmful imports or regulating food monopolies.
Oh, yeah.
That demonstrates exactly how structural policy reduces the viability gap before a patient ever reaches the emergency room.
It completely shifts the timeline of intervention, taking that concept of borrowed capacity and scaling it up to a global level.
It really makes the entire ecosystem of the argument so much stronger.
Well, let's recap our primary takeaways today. First, anchor the theoretical roadmap by bringing back the opening critical incident to show the solution in action.
Second, embody the six gates of access by utilizing dual patient narratives to make differential friction visceral.
And third, expand the critique of commercial determinants to balance the upstream causes of the healthcare viability gap with the downstream effects.
Because ultimately, this is a magnificent, highly original piece of work.
Oh, totally. The conceptual lexicon here is just extraordinary. We highly invite the listener to implement these structural layers and submit the revised material back to the critique for further exploration.
We would absolutely love to see the next iteration.
We really would. Keep pushing this vital work forward.